The God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving. That's in 2 Corinthians 4:4. So that the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ might not be seen. The God of this world is Satan, seeking to blind the minds of the unbelieving. Now here, the gospel is called the gospel, not of the gospel of forgiveness of sins. That's just the beginning. The gospel of the glory of Christ. The new covenant gospel is the gospel of the glory of Christ, which is way beyond forgiveness of sins. It's not just getting out of Egypt. It's getting into the land of Canaan and slaying the giants. It's not wandering in the wilderness. That is the new covenant gospel. And just like the God of this world has blinded the minds of non-Christians so that they try to work out their salvation in so many other ways, get their forgiveness of sins in so many ways, but we've received it by faith, by grace. In the same way, the God of this world has blinded the minds of so many believers so that they don't see the rest of the gospel of the glory of Christ. So this is what I want to share of. I myself was blind to it for about 16 years after I was born again. Well, I was living the normal born again, normal life of born again Christians, falling into sin, usually in my thoughts or words. We are more careful with our actions after we are born again, but careless with our thoughts and words. And then I'd say, Lord, forgive me. And I, as long as I kept on asking for forgiveness, I thought that was it. And I was sure I was on my way to heaven. But I was so frustrated with my defeated life, and it became worse and worse in my thought life, even though I was preaching. I finally got so fed up with my defeated life that I said, Lord, I will stop preaching if you don't make my inner life correspond with my outer life. And I began to see God and fast and prayed myself and with others. And that's when, after 16 years of defeat, God opened my eyes to see the truth. He filled me with the Holy Spirit afresh and opened my eyes to the truth of the gospel. Now, we read in 2 Thessalonians. I have to go through this a bit quickly, so if you can turn with me reference to it, but otherwise I'll read it to you. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 11, is the only verse in the Bible where it says God himself will allow some people to be deceived. Now, Satan tries to deceive us. Our flesh deceives, lust deceives us. Our heart deceives us, Jeremiah 17. But on top of that, if God himself will send a deluding influence so that some people believe what is false, there's no hope for them. So to whom does God send this deluding influence? It says in verse 10 of 2 Thessalonians 2, two things. Those who don't love the truth and those who don't want to be saved from sin. That means when they see something in Scripture, which is the truth, and they don't love it because they've all their life held something else as the truth and they're not willing to change their mind, then they can be deceived. And second, if they are not interested in being saved from sin, they can be deceived. So there are two qualifications to avoid deception. One is I must love the truth, which I see in the Word of God. And when God shows me the truth about myself, I must love it and say, Lord, I want to be delivered from that, whatever you show me. And secondly, I must want to be saved from sin. The entire Old Testament, the only promise was that people's sins could be forgiven, as we read in Psalm 103. That was 1,000 years before Christ. David could say, bless the Lord, O my soul, who forgives all 100% of my sins. He was looking forward to the death of Christ on the cross. But as soon as you turn the pages of the New Testament, we come to the first promise of the New Testament, which many people don't know. The first promise of the New Testament is Matthew 1:21, which says, the angel told Joseph, you must call his name Jesus. Why? Because Jesus means what? He will save, not he will forgive. He will save his people from their sins. If it was only that he would forgive their sins, that's an Old Testament message, Psalm 103. But this is, he will save his people from their sins. There's a lot of difference being forgiven and being saved. To be saved is to be delivered from the pit. I've asked people this question. I say, has Jesus saved you from anger? They say, no. Has Jesus saved you from lusting after women? No. Has Jesus saved you from hypocrisy, pride? No, no, no. What has he done for you then? He forgives us every time we fall. He forgives us. Then I say, you cannot call him Savior. Say, Jesus is my forgiver. That's the honest truth. Who can say Jesus is my Savior? The one who's been saved from these sins, or who's being saved from these sins. So that is where the God of the world has deceived so many people. When Paul was writing his last letter to Timothy, he told him in 2 Timothy chapter 2, Paul was burdened for the truth of the gospel to continue. And he told him in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15, be diligent to present yourself to God as a workman who will be approved by him. And if you want to be approved by him, you must handle the word of truth accurately. Very important to handle the word of God accurately, to compare scripture with scripture, and then we can present ourselves approved to God. So, coming to the truths of the new covenant, I want to talk about it from a different number of passages of scripture to show the difference between the old covenant and the new. Turn with me first of all to John's Gospel chapter 1. In John chapter 1, we read in the very first verse that Jesus Christ, the Word, was God. But this person who was God, verse 14 says, the Word became flesh. So, what do we learn from that? Isn't it interesting that Jesus Christ is called the Word? He preached the Word, but before he preached the Word, he lived the Word. The Gospel of Luke is described by Luke in his second book. You know, Luke wrote two books in the New Testament. One was the Gospel of Luke and the other is the Acts of the Apostles. And in Acts chapter 1 verse 1, Luke gives a title to his first book. And the title Luke gives to his gospel is what Jesus began to do and teach. Notice the order. He did and taught. He did not teach what he had not done. He did not do after he taught. He first did and taught. He began to do and teach in the Gospel of Luke. That's what is the description of the Gospel of Luke. So how would Luke describe the Acts of the Apostles? What Jesus continued to do and teach through his body, the church. In Luke, he began to do and teach with his physical body. In Acts, he continued to do and teach through his spiritual body. So our calling is first to do and then teach, and never to teach what I'm not doing or which I'm not even attempting to do. In other words, there's no place for hypocrisy in New Testament preaching. So coming back to John chapter 1, we read, the Word became flesh. Think of the written word which God had given to man. In the Old Testament, it was a written word. Scribes studied it. You had to study it carefully. And it did not matter if you did not live it in your private life. So long as your doctrine was right in Israel, you were okay. And the scribes studied those 613 commandments that God gave them and taught people. But the life was not important. The written word was important. You know, it says in Psalm 119 and verse 105, thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. What was the light under the old covenant? The written word. Very important. Genesis to Malachi. And the law for Israel. That word was a lamp to my feet and a light to my path, David says. But in the new covenant, the light is not the word. It says about Jesus in John chapter 1 verse 4, in him was life, and that life was the light of men. That's the first thing I want you to notice. In the old covenant, the written word was the light. In the new covenant, it was the life that was manifested in flesh when the word became flesh. Not the written word, but the word become flesh. The same word But now it is not in a book alone. It is in a life. And that life, John 1:4, is the light of men. That's different from Psalm 119, where it says, thy word is a light to me. Now the life of Jesus is the light. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. And this light can never be crushed by the darkness, it says in the next verse. If we partake of this life which is light, the prince of darkness will have no power over us. And that's why the God of the world blinds people to the truth of the new covenant. In the old covenant, because the written word was the important thing, the prophets would go up and meet with God and come back and say, come and hear what the Lord is saying. That's the old covenant message. Come and hear. In the new covenant, the message is, come and see what the Lord has done in my life through this word, how he's changed my life, how he's delivered me from my sinful habits. Come and see.